Reality Rant. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Reality Rant podcast. I have to take a little bit more of a serious tone with this podcast than usual, as this is our second Big Brother podcast of this evening, and man, what a week it was. Eric Pierce of Game Show Newsnet alongside Bill Hammond of this very own Reality Rant podcast. And Bill, I am of the understanding that you have written a bit of an essay or a treatise or a dissertation on this cast and what it has done so far on CBS.
I wouldn't call it necessarily a treatise, or more of a civilized manifesto or some sort.
Civilized manifesto, which for sure. Those of you who've listened to the Reality Rant podcast before, you know what kind of effort it takes Bill to be civilized. So yes. Take a moment, wrap your head around that. Think about some of the things that have been going on, most specifically on the live feeds.
Yep.
On Big Brother this season. If you haven't gotten the opportunity, we fully advocate you spending some time on jokersupdates.com as a site. They do a great job of keeping track of all the ongoings of the house, and you really do need the true story, because for those of you who watched the eviction, the live eviction this Wednesday evening before a wonderful July 4th Independence Day, you were hoodwinked and bamboozled if you think that red wine was the biggest kerfuffle in the house.
Yes, my only guess is that the editors and producers were also drinking heavily when they decided that this was the route they were going to take.
Absolutely. If you've been paying attention to the media at all, and we'll do our best to keep you informed, you know where to go for that. That's at Reality Rant on Twitter, or like us on Facebook, just search Reality Rant. But the things that have been going on have been absolutely abhorrent. You're on what is a game show. I'm sorry for those of you who want to call reality shows dramas, Mark Burnett, but it's a game show. There's $500,000 on the line. And we've just had cast members who have decided to pick on people specifically for their race, their sexual orientation. Just pick your bigoted reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just one, it's almost half the cast. We're really getting there at this point.
Yeah.
And we've seen some fortunate things in the media picking up on these stories. TMZ as well as Reality Blurred, they're out there pushing the fact that these cast members are ungodly racist.
Yeah.
And beyond that, we actually have businesses that employ these house guests making the decision to disassociate themselves with these vile, abhorrent people. And I don't say that lightly. I would not throw that at somebody without really feeling justified, but let's just get started with it. I mean, Erin Greese, who is the beauty pageant queen, basically, and she's not even the one who worked for beauty pageants, but I mean, look at her. She's the perfect little blonde, blue eyes. I mean, if Hitler had his way, and
pretty
we'll get
much
to Hitler in a second, yes,
yeah,
that's how bad it goes, folks.
We can't even lead with Hitler.
This would be Hitler's wet dream. And what kinds of things has Erin said, Bill?
She's the biggest offender of all at this point. She casually uses the word queer to describe Andy, who's openly gay, and she's actually told the other house guests, be nice to the queer because the audiences vote for the queer, so if you're not nice to the queer, then we're never going to win MVP.
Exactly.
As like, I'm not paraphrasing this. It really is that bad. In regards to Candace, she said that she and Howard will stick together just because they're black, but more importantly, told the other house guests to be careful what they say in the dark because Candace might be there and they not notice.
Mm-hmm.
Unreal. And then, of course, in reference to Helen, who is by far the most human of any of these people so far.
And by far the oldest, most mature cast member this season.
Sadly. And the fact that she works in politics, even if she was this bad, she would know to hold her tongue.
Yes.
But Helen, who is Asian, Erin and Gina Marie have both told her on separate occasions to go F off and cook us some rice.
I mean, really, folks.
And that's just the tip of the freaking hatred iceberg.
It does go on. Do you care to carry on now with other cast members? I mean, we talked about Erin, and Erin got dropped by her talent agency this week.
That'll be a nice little surprise for her when she gets evicted in a couple of weeks.
Little piece of justice. Gina Marie also just got dropped. She was working with East Coast Pageants, and they decided that Gina Marie was not what they wanted to represent.
Yes, because
bringing young girls into the pageant program. Now, this is a pageant program, mind you, that aspires to be Miss Utah or Miss Teen South Carolina. I mean, take a moment, think about some of those wonderful pageant girls in your head.
Yes.
And they've made the decision that Gina Marie does not meet their high standard. So what has Gina Marie done?
Gina Marie, and this is the most offensive singular comment to me, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
As a model and a pageant girl and a pageant coordinator, there's been times when she's been on unemployment. We all have.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes when she, you know, because living on Long Island is expensive, she's had to go on welfare, you know? She refers to welfare as insurance for insert N-word here.
Insurance for newbies?
Only on, that was two seasons ago.
Okay.
I was like, you have got to be freaking kidding me. And I mean, never mind the fact that my own mother is on welfare right now, and it is the most stressful, you know, distraught period of her life that she can't get out of this cycle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's through no fault of her own and has nothing to do with race or anything like that. But she goes to social services. She has to interview with people. You know, it's a very stringent process for her, $200 a month.
Sure.
And the fact that Gina would just reduce it not only to race but that derogatorily is just utterly disgusting. And the one piece of humor I'll find in this is the fact that the statement that her pageant company gave when they fired her in absentia was something like, you know, we're in a world of beauty. We couldn't believe that these kind of places for hatred would exist in our world. I got two words for you. Carrie Prejean, okay? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Larry, you're being inappropriate, you know.
I mean, it is kind of ridiculous when you think about it, but not to attack these companies because they're actually, in my opinion, doing the right thing.
Precisely.
You have to realize when you just choose to put yourself in a national spotlight, which, make no mistake, every contestant makes that choice when they sign on the dotted line and agree to be on a program, especially one as pervasive as Big Brother, where you are on those live feeds 24/7, except when there's fish tanks.
Yes.
But when you make that decision, you give yourself a great chance to improve your profile. There are many Big Brother house guests that are loved and cherished. They have amazing internet fan bases. I mean, hell, the reason Alyssa's getting MVP is because Rachel did have a very strong positive impact on a lot of Big Brother fans. Not to say that many don't view her negatively as well, but
well,
you can get a balance. These girls, and let's make it clear, it's not just the girls here. I mean,
yeah.
Jeremy's been full of it, and Spencer hasn't been much better. I mean,
Spencer has decided to go very punny with the word fag in regards to Andy. And as we hinted previously, gave us a nice little speech about the positive critiques of Adolf Hitler and the SS.
Yes. Again, folks, you are actually exposing yourself for what you are. That can be a great thing, that can be a horrible thing, but you deserve everything that comes to you.
I was like, the thing is, Spencer admitted that he's probably going to be hated for saying what he says, and I get that he's trying to just make, you know, a fact-based argument, but you don't say it on national TV! It's like, this is not, you know, the campfire with your buddies. There are cameras 24/7, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And when you mention Rachel, this is kind of part of the problem.
Yes.
On only one occasion has CBS basically aired the bigotry and the hate speech,
mm-hmm.
and that was back in season 9, which you didn't even watch.
Thank God.
Yeah, eventual winner Adam, who used his winnings to, you know, sell OxyContin to kids, and he's going to be in a jail cell for the next 20 years. During the first competition, after he was eliminated, he was chatting with some other contestants, including his then-partner, Crazy Sheila, and telling her that if he wins, he'll donate his a bunch of his winnings to autistic charities so that, you know, the retards can go look good and get haircuts and stuff. And that statement got him not only got him fired from his job, after he won the show, my former editor David Bloomberg got to break the news to him, because in his interview the next day he said, so now that you're fired, are you going to still donate money to your company? He's like, wait, I got fired? He didn't even know. And it's odd that that's the one incident where CBS showed it, because this happened in the first competition, but, you know, before the show premiere, before the live feeds go up. So if they chose not to show it, no one would have known.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that ever since then, their tack has been just not to show it, because, you know, the last several years, even as much of a fan base as she has, Rachel has said some pretty bombastic shit.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily bigoted, but definitely aggressive and. Woo.
Oh, she's said some. She said some really anti-gay stuff when she came back into the house and had that fight with Reagan. We got parts of that fight on the show, but not the parts where she basically said that he sucks at being gay because he's not acting gay enough, and somehow they're not friends.
That's hilarious, though. But, at least in those circumstances, we actually expect tensions to flare. You're multiple weeks into the show. You're battling for a huge amount of cash. You've already been taking jabs and shots at each other. This was week one.
And in that case, Rachel had already been eliminated. She was just brought back for a Pandora's Box bit. But Brayden was knocked out first week of his season for saying racist stuff towards Lydia and Kevin. They didn't show that. Shima, good God, Shima, you know. Both Rachel and Brandon have made offenses. Danny Donato, even Jeff. Everybody loves Jeff.
The homophobic rant he went on, yep.
The little homophobic rant about Dumbledore when he found out that Dumbledore was gay. You know?
What it comes down to is, first of all, CBS as a network and Big Brother as a production, they need to stop acting as if, we didn't know. We had no clue that they would say such things. Bullshit.
You can't continue to just, you know, sweep this under the rug with the standard, the views don't reflect us disclaimer, you know?
No, the views do, because you're choosing to put these people on the show. These people are approved by CBS executives. It's not even just Robin Cass. You know, a lot of people point at her when it comes to casting, and she absolutely does have a hand in this. She's screening through tons of people before she pitches the people she believes should be on this show in the long run. Does she get her way on everyone? No, but a lot of them? Yes, no one gets through without passing by her as the gatekeeper. But even then, CBS is the one who sits here and listens to her pitch, where I'm sure she's pitching them as positive as possible and why they're going to be entertaining and interesting and how the dynamics are going to work between different house guests. So you need to take these two as a pair. At some point, can we put being a good person or even just a fair person on the list for half the house guests? I understand that you're going to have some people that need to be volatile. There needs to be a bit of a good versus evil struggle. But really, when you get to this point that, again, in week one, many of those other incidents, they were very benign until you at least got halfway through the season and people genuinely had more reason to like or hate each other. They knew who their rivals were. And then they started using it as methods to get under people's skin. Hell, you look at someone like Dick Donato. It's like he would say some really horrible things, really didn't cross that line much as far as saying something racist or bigoted. But he would say things to get under people's skin on purpose. He would make them hurt, try to make them cry if they were weak enough. But that was, again, for him, strategy. Yeah. But he had a reason. He knew who his target was. He had a reason to go after them. At this point, don't tell me that people had targets on day two.
Yeah, I mean, there was a method to Dick Donato's madness. And even then, the closest he came to crossing the line was calling Dustin Princess. Mm-hmm. That was about it. And again, you kind of hit on the point here. You know, I've been to the semifinals of this casting process, which is to say one interview. When you get to the finals, it's like 2 weeks of intensive interviews, group interviews where you have where they test, you know, demographics and dynamics, psychological tests allegedly. You're telling me that no one picked up on this for at least a full third of the cast?
Mm-hmm. And it's both. They did. I'm convinced they did.
Because there's still money to be made no matter what, you know? And they throw out that disclaimer as to basically absolve themselves for the behavior of the people that they are paying to be on TV. And let's level the ground here and be fair for a bit. I mean, because you and I, we make racial jokes and gay jokes on this podcast from time to time. But the thing is, when we do it, one, we're making fun of the stereotypes that are being cast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everything we do, it's with the understanding that it never comes from a place of anger or hate. You and I have been friends for years. We're as close as brothers. we have a rapport that's been built up for so long that we know what we can say to each other and what we can't.
And beyond that, even though I will sit here and I will fully admit and even apologize to anybody who's listened to this podcast and possibly been offended by some of the humor we use, there is a point to stress that when we make these comments, we are not targeting people. We are not trying to say something that is saying, hey, you are a jerk, you are a insert inappropriate word here. A lot of times, as you said, we are targeting a stereotype. We're playing up something that probably was played up by the editors or the cameras. Does that make us 100% right and justified? No. But is there a level that needs to be paid attention to? Absolutely.
We started this podcast almost 4 years ago, and we agreed on day one that if we ever got to the point where we were offending people, we backtrack, we stop, and we amend. You know, the audience is what matters to us. I mean, without an audience, we're just two nerds bitching about reality shows that we can't get on.
And
you
thus
know?
The biggest problem is that CBS and casting, as far as we're concerned, they're being hypocrites. They're sitting here saying that we care about the audience and CBS does not condone such actions and such hate speech, yet you are rewarding people who speak this way by giving them a shot at $500,000 and putting them on the show and probably giving them a spot on The Amazing Race afterwards. Is it going to be Aaron and David on The Amazing Race next season? Wait for it. And at the same time, you try to pretend it doesn't happen by not showing it in the episodes. I mean, back to Reagan for a second. As you said, he's been in the middle of some of these conflicts in his season. He wrote a great open letter saying, hey, CBS, show these people for what they are, warts and all.
Yeah.
Do it. Do it, and don't be afraid. This is reality television. Trust me, I am not naive enough to believe that I live in a world where people aren't going to look at me and say, hey, look at that enter walking down the street. They're going to say that, and they're going to say things a whole lot worse. And I even realize if I was in this house, I would be sitting there biting my tongue beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee you I would have some Brittany Haynes-ish diary room sessions.
Yep.
My God. But then again, these people very well are as well. When Helen heard what came back to her, she very well gave an interview in the diary room saying how offensive and ridiculous this was and what she'd like to do to some of these people. But if you don't show the speech in the show, you have no reason to show the diary room. So we get nothing. As an audience, we get robbed and we get told to believe that the wine is the worst thing that happens.
And especially in this particular season where we're supposed to be voting every week for who we think's playing the best game, and you're delivering to us the most manipulated version of events possible.
Which we warned you on week one.
Yep.
The editors are going to control who they want to be MVP.
And you hit on one of the saddest parts of this whole process, and that's the fact that even if someone in the house wants to call people on the carpet for this,
it's strategically stupid to do so.
Exactly. You don't want to call Aaron a racist, bigoted bitch for everything she said and then have her win HOH. Oh, wait.
Now, let's use this as a way of transitioning into strategy here, because there's something I called out right at the end of watching the eviction episode. Mm. And that was, man, if anyone right now on the live stream, on the live feed, which, mind you, they'd probably get muted because they were muting everything, but if anyone said, okay, America, give me MVP, I will nominate Aaron, promise. You don't think that would have gotten them a crap ton more votes? This is where you can actually start to manipulate the game a little bit and manipulate the audience by figuring out what we want done and then agreeing to do it. And they might have gotten a little bit of a hint to that as far as the boos and cheering that was very uncharacteristic of a Big Brother vote, to the point that after four times it got silenced.
Yeah.
Because it's like someone at the production finally realized, oh crap, they're getting information from the outside world. They're realizing they like this person and don't like that person. Geniuses.
Do you think there should be some kind of penalties for these players?
In what aspect? For saying certain things?
Yeah, I mean, CBS has made it very clear that they're not going to, like, truly punish them. They're not going to, like, expel them or anything. And to an extent, I get why, because, I mean, if you throw a third of the cast out, your shooting schedule is shot to hell,
well,
you know?
My first answer is actually no. You put them in here, I don't find speech offhand until it gets to be threatening speech to be something you're not allowed to do. My biggest problem is that we're not getting the honest truth of these people. That some people are still being painted as princesses when they're royal Stark raving bitches.
Yeah.
I just want the truth there, and that's fine. You can say what you want. It's not a penalty vote situation. It's not going to create a nomination.
Mm. I remember a couple of years ago the very first week when Brayden made his racist comments toward Lydia and Kevin, and that's what got him voted out first instead of Shima. Even though up until that point everybody wanted Shima gone, and even then it was a tie vote that
right.
That Ronnie forced. And during her speech on the live eviction show, she said, "Every vote for Brayden is a vote for racism and misogyny and sexism," mm-hmm. and she was muted for that. And afterwards, she was warned in the diary room that if you pull that crap on the live feed on the live show again, we will expel you. And then, of course, she ended up getting expelled anyway for throwing
other
the
reasons.
Microphone.
And frankly, she shouldn't have been for that. But I get it; she was breaking their narrative. People are going, "What? Huh?" And she had every right to do so. And frankly, that's a valid strategy. I hate to go there, but part of the game is lying as well. She was not lying,
yep.
But. If I can lie and make people believe that someone's a bigoted, racist SOB, and that's going to save my tail, trust me, I'll do it. And I would feel horribly guilty for it, and I don't up to it. But here's a scarier thing. The show would allow me to get away with this strategy because they would never show the evidence because they don't want to touch that at all. You have to realize you're dealing with a show here that is about real people in real conflict. I could only dream, and I know this would never happen, one, that Big Brother would be in HD. You have HD monitors on the set.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I'm watching an HD monitor inside an HD monitor, my HD TV, and I'm watching a non-HD feed. What the hell?
It's the only program on network TV that is still in 4x3 and has been for at least 3 years.
I could dream if they ever did HBO Big Brother. First of all, the whole night vision cameras and your McRae Amanda moments that you would get to see in full. Because I'll tell you, folks, there's been a lot more making out than that little smooch you saw.
And of course, she was the one coming in the house deciding that showmances were not going to happen, which
yes.
I love. But
she was the one going crazy over Jesse. Like, you're supposed to jump on that, Bones, and jump on that. Shoot me.
I think there's a happy medium with this whole thing, okay?
Okay, good luck.
When Shima threw the microphone into the hot tub, she wasn't expelled at that point.
Mm-hmm.
They were, there was more stuff that she did later on that finally, they had to call Allison and say, yeah, she's done. Initially, if she had just left it at that, they would have charged her for the destroyed property, which that microphone. According to inside sources, was valued at about $7,000.
Okay.
So that would have come out of her stipend to replace the equipment she destroyed.
But
let's start instituting fines. Whether it makes the show or not, whenever you say something bigoted or homophobic or racist, or when you're on the live show and you curse so much that you have to get the show muted, $500 fine. Off your stipend. Every
then
time.
Get that from them trying to protect their production, but at the same time, they can't hide it when people do it. We should know that this is the rule of the house, and you broke the rule, and we want to see how they broke the rule. In the same way that the network can be FCC fined if they were to allow any of this to air, fine. You can fine the contestants.
As like, there has to be some kind of tangible punishment for this, even if the CBS is going to absolve themselves and wash their hands of the situation. This kind of bigotry and hate speech at this level cannot go unpunished to the extent that we just leave it to the social Darwinism of the house to take care of it. Because guess what? If they don't have to get rid of you, they won't. And in fact, I'm certain that there's at least two people in the house right now that want to align with Erin, knowing that she's always going to be a bigger target.
Absolutely, and there's the same logic that people use to keep Alyssa this time around. So,
it's like if you're going to not remove them from the game, at least penalize hit them in the pocketbook. You know, because guess what? They're going to get hit in the pocketbook when they get out of the house.
That's true. Yep. All right, let's have a little fun here. Email time. And don't forget, you can always email us at realityrantpodcast@gmail.com. We try to either respond to you directly via email, but you know what? This time around, we thought it might be a little bit more fun to do it on the podcast. So a little note from Mariska here. Well, good news in regards to the chessboard finally being used again. Yes. Helen and McCrae are playing a game. Also, is it just me or is Jesse a lot more obnoxious than anyone else expected and Alyssa a lot less? First of all, I agree on all accounts.
As far as the chess, yeah, like Spencer,
hallelujah,
Judd,
the chessboard's in action.
And it's a new chessboard, so.
I'm shocked that they haven't replaced that with, like, Mousetrap or Chutes and Ladders at this point.
Or
that'd
hit
be
the buzzer
most divine insult to the cast ever.
Hit the buzzer, win a cookie.
Hey, I will make that format work.
And I will concede this one bit. Mm-hmm. I will concede this. If Rachel Riley had never entered my collective consciousness,
Alyssa wouldn't be annoying.
I would be fine with Alyssa.
Yes.
I would be absolutely... Even though I disagree with some of her viewpoints and the way she wants to play the game, as a human being and as a character on this show, I would have no issue with her if Rachel Riley did not exist.
Right. And especially because that would mean we'd have an untainted MVP process going on right now.
Exactly. And the thing is, if I'm in that house right now, even if it's mildly detrimental to my game, I am voting her out every single week. And every single week, my goodbye message is, Alyssa, I'm sure you're a wonderful mother and that you're a really good person outside this house. But unfortunately, you as a God-fearing woman would know, the sins of the father, the sins of the son, similar thing here. Your sister's presence on this show creates an uneven playing field. I have been trying to get on this show for years, and you just got to answer a phone call because your sister is Rachel Riley.
I'm disappointed that you would play with such a vendetta as opposed to figuring out what the best strategic decision was.
But again, it's like it's an uneven playing field because we know that every week that Alyssa is in the house, she's going to win MVP. Because
I agree it's uneven,
of
but at the same time, I found her to be amazingly easy to manipulate. I mean, if someone like McCrae, who frankly is not a good manipulator, can get Alyssa to vote, put up who he wants as far as putting up David, and then you sit here and she gets put up anyway... And I think you still have an ally in her, as was being very well discussed and pointed out. If you have her as an ally, that's one guaranteed nomination you have every week. So even when you lose HOH, you still get to put a target on the block. That can be huge. Yes, there's going to come a point where you have to cut her, and it's going to come sooner rather than later. But I don't have a reason to hate her right away. I don't.
Like I said, especially when we have such issues with the casting process, because again, whether you're a recruit like Alyssa because you have a big brother legend for a sister, and all I can think of is, yeah, there are a lot of demons and witches in legend, yeah.
I mean, let me just tag on to this with the other email that we're going to talk about. Stacy, wow, I don't know how closely you are watching the live feeds, but the girls this year are horrible. They're either catty bitches, racist, homophobic, or a mixture of both. Helen, and surprisingly enough, Rachel's sister, are the only non-bat-poo insane women. Any other women you'd like to put on the they're okay list?
If Candace can stop with the Candyland shit,
Do you feel like she said that once in casting and she realized that was gold and she just stick with it?
And Amanda, I can see where she will rub people the wrong way, but...
I like the
direction her game's going.
And that was even before she was basically trying to sleep with McCrae.
I mean, I'm sorry. Putting the bandana around her neck and being a stewardess, that was a Britney moment.
That was a fun moment. I'm sure the production had something to do with it too, but that was good. That was really good.
Like, never mind her gigantic chesticles, which are just. God bless her. Either God bless her or God bless her.
On the one podcast where we're not supposed to be sexual, misogynistic, etc. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we are who we are, But
your Kesha song?
On so many levels, no.
Okay.
On every level imaginable across all dimensions and universes.
And just be careful that you don't quote that again.
No, I didn't quote anything. You just associated something I said with something
said,
that
we are who we are. That's a Kesha song. Deal with it.
Just a sentence. It's also a sentence.
Yes. Because when you say A R E, then it's a sentence. When you say R, the letter R, then it becomes covered in glitter.
Oh,
so yeah, the girls are kind of disappointing as a whole.
Yeah.
What about the guys?
I like McCray as a character, and he's, while he's not a great player, he's a, I at least enjoy his thought process. You
yes.
know.
Let's stress that again. I can deal with people who aren't good players, great players. I just want people to be players. Actively yeah. try something. Have a reason for what you do.
I mean, Judd was my favorite going in, but I haven't seen enough of him to really make a judgment at this point. Same goes with Andy. Howard.
Howard's kind of a non-entity.
Kind of a non-entity. Jeremy's a dick. No Spencer. Idea.
Wait until you... Do you think they're going to air Jeremy wiping his butt with Alyssa's hat?
I'm going to guess no.
Oh, wow. You probably guessed right.
Nick, he's cocky bastard, which I assume was going to happen. But you know, Spencer, apparently he's a skinhead, but, you know, I'm not going to give him a pass on the Nazi stuff, but and the remarks toward Andy, but... You know,
as a person, you're a dick. As a player,
we'll okay. see. You know, like I said, as we learned with Adam, he is a complete idiot. And I'm sorry, when you work for the autistic, you don't call them retards. That's just stupid. But he was a halfway decent game player, and I wouldn't have voted for him to win in that final two. But he was probably the third or fourth most worthy person in that horrible season. So,
mm-hmm.
Who are we forgetting right now? Let's get to David, I guess.
Why? There's nothing there. Literally nothing there.
David, I thought it when I saw the picture of him and read his bio, but literally, David is every surfer cartoon come to life.
With a splash of Dudley Do-Right.
Like, the Dudley Do-Right hair, yes. It's like every...
Except he does make Dudley Do-Right look like Stephen Hawking.
Oh my god! It's like every joke you have ever seen about a stereotypical surfer dude from the 80s and 90s,
mm-hmm.
and in cartoons, that is David. I mean, and of course, when he's evicted, he tells Julia, "I'm a pretty smart guy."
I did kind of.
Yes, you're the smartest guy in your kindergarten class.
Even though you're, what, 25?
I mean, seriously, if he was fat, he'd be Ralph Wiggum, okay? I could see him walking out of the bathroom going, I can use the potty now! Me fail English? That's impossible! And again, you know... He wasn't a recruit by Robin Cass standards, but yes, he was. And this is the most infuriating thing. He came on the show purely for the purposes of a showmance. He didn't mm-hmm. even want
that
the
line alone. I was like, done. I'm done with
it's
you.
Like, get out of my house. Like on the was the second episode. He's like when he first started hooking up with Aaron. It's like I don't care about the money. I just wanted to find a showman. Like I may have met the love of my life. Like you love of your life is a racist.
Showmance is supposed to be a bonus, not... If anything, it's a detriment because it's so much harder to win when you're part of one, but...
Well, because that's the other thing. I mean, that's the other big thing with the eviction this week. They showed, you know, saying, hey, let's get rid of David because he's a physical threat and keep her on Alyssa because we can manipulate her. More than that, the reason David got voted out was... Let's break up him and Aaron and punish Aaron.
That is like the classic rule of Big Brother. If you're a pair, you get to be a target. Congratulations.
Not only do we break up the obvious pair, but punish Aaron for the only way they can this week, you know?
Exactly. There's a lot more behind this eviction than people or CBS wants to acknowledge to the public.
And I will say this as far as the eviction is concerned. On her first season, Rachel could have been the first one out.
Mm-hmm. Are you foreboding something?
Just saying, this is the second chance you've had to get out of Riley Girl in the first week.
And in all sincerity, it would not have been a horrible thing to do. We already found out that she was basically, and I know this is going to sound crazy, basically second place in that veto challenge. While pot roast, yes, you're stupid, is two words, she actually had the ambition to go for 9 letters. Mm-hmm. She was the only person who thought that she might need 9. McCray, you're an idiot. I'm just going to compete like a C student in order to throw it amongst... You're a C student amongst failures.
Exactly. In the Big Brother house, a C student is a freaking Rhodes Scholar.
An 8-letter word, I'm like, that's technically right around the level of what has won previous seasons.
I mean...
You need to be at 5 or 6 to be at C level.
I mean, remember, Technotronics.
Mm.
And we couldn't even spell Technotronics. It was Tektronics. He didn't have mm-hmm. the N-O in there. And in that competition, you remember what won?
No, what?
Russell won with Shotgun.
Oh, yeah. Classy.
I mean, seriously, what is stupid? The fact that David didn't spell anything or the fact that Alyssa thought two words was one?
It's all pretty special, but... Hey, at least she spelled those two words correctly. And more importantly, she got a lot of letters, and she got back and forth pretty easily. Everyone was pointing out she's smoking the crowd. Hint, she does have that Riley blood. As far as female competitors go, that's about as high as you're going to get on the totem pole short of a Janelle Pirzina. You got to be wary of that, because that will be a threat down the line. And if she starts winning competitions, and MVP, oh god.
I don't think that's going to happen, honestly.
And why do you say that?
Well...
Is this the spoiler part of our podcast?
This is the kind of spoiler part. I mean, again, if you go on to Joker's Updates and don't just rely on the broadcast show, then you already know what I'm about to say.
So most importantly, this would be a great time if you really, really don't want to know what's going to come up on Sunday's show. Now would be a chance for you to step away. And we'll excuse you from this podcast. And just make sure that you download our next one. We very much appreciate it. But at this point, we are officially spoiling the future. So you've got 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 seconds. Go, Bill.
The Endurance HOH, which, come on, Endurance in the first week? Really?
Yeah, a little crazy.
They really want us to buy those life aids, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Especially now that CBS controls them. But in the pair slip and slide contest...
Hate the winners, teams.
Yeah, the winning pair was Jeremy and his random partner Aaron.
Rigged.
Yeah, exactly.
We're used to Big Brother having this situation where the person who is in the worst possible position always ends up getting power and being HOH. But seriously, you end up with two people in the worst positions, both getting the power. I mean, given one person becomes the HOH, and go ahead, you can finish with that.
And Jeremy's not in a bad position. He's in the moving company, which I guess we can talk about them in a minute. But the actual HOH, because you probably didn't hear this since everybody was cussing and muting out Julie, the winning pair had to decide amongst themselves who got to be HOH. And it was decided between the two of them that Aaron would be the HOH. And Jeremy's consolation prize is getting to pick the have-nots. And after the red wine incident, Alyssa and Helen are back in the airport.
Yippee.
And it's pretty much already been made clear that Aaron is going after Alyssa with every fiber of her being.
No way.
She may give penalty nominations to people that she know that people that she knows voted for David, but then lied about it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if anybody is reversing on that, she may nominate them for a penalty, but
the main target is painfully obvious.
The main target is painfully obvious in Alyssa, and quite frankly, as adamant as Nick and Spencer were in McCray to get rid of David instead of Alyssa, even they're in Aaron's ear right now saying, like, you know, it's time, let's just get rid of Alyssa now and have a free week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So... Alyssa will get MVP, she'll nominate whoever the hell, you know, and unless she wins veto, I can't see a situation where she gets saved twice in a row. I really can't.
We shall see. We shall. But yeah, exciting week coming up ahead. Can't you just tell how enthused I am?
What are your thoughts on the moving company?
The moving company, man, it's not a bad alliance, and it's kind of sad and depressing that the way they cast these seasons, and I do mean that, the way they cast these seasons... You will only ever see male alliances like this.
Yeah.
They always cast women who are going to be nothing but catty with one another. And as a result, they rarely will unify the way that they should, even when they absolutely recognize they're in Shitsville.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, go ahead. It's a better name than usual. You know, pack them up, ship them out. You're getting evicted. Okay, I can go with this. This makes some sense. Whole flattery BS about, oh, we got the strongest guys in here and the please.
That's what we call a BB circle jerk. And Alyssa will earn points from me if she admits at this stage that the idea of an all women's alliance is completely asinine, given the women that are in this house.
Yeah, I mean, she got put in, it's just not happening. Sorry.
But as far as the movie company, I like the makeup of the alliance. Because again, even with Spencer being a skinhead, I guess there are hopes for his strategic game. You know,
mm-hmm.
But just for my own personal, I would have really preferred it if they were the electric company.
No, please. These people don't know what that is.
I know, but come on. How awesome would it be, especially if Spencer got to go running around the house going, "Hey, you guys!" They would probably think it's a Goonie reference, but no.
Yeah.
Because think about it. Spencer looks like a grown-up chunk. He really does.
A bit. A good bit, yes.
If there's a veto competition to do the truffle shuffle, we know who's winning.
If only we could be so lucky.
If only we had people who would get the references in the house.
Ugh, any last words before we watch more episodes of this train wreck and rant about it on this lovely little podcast?
To Aaron and Gina and everybody else, karma is such a remorseless bitch. Just bear that in mind.
Fantastic. So, yeah. Folks, I think you get the point here. We're just sitting here really, really, really hoping that about half this cast gets their comeuppance. One final thought from me. This is still week one. Because this is Expect the Unexpected, why don't we just throw out the entire cast? We'll employ a phone game like Millionaire. And next week we'll start brand new with 14 house guests.
Please?
Completely random. I think that would be one of the most intriguing things ever to happen. Mm-hmm. And I bet you they'd end up with a better cast than they have right now. Not that that's saying much, I'm just saying. Better cast. Cross the fingers, hope for the best, and until then, folks, you know how it works. I'm Eric Pearson, Game Changers Net. That's Bill Hammond of this lovely Reality Rant podcast, which happens to be, in this very moment,
$10 to anyone who wants to take the bet. If Alyssa had gotten voted out, $10 says she says they have a returning house guest quiz this season.
Oh, it's still happening. So as long as she's out within the first four, that's happening.
Yep.